It seems barely a day goes by without angry words, a threat of strike action. The union fury is because of planned public sector job losses and other cuts. But will strike action make any difference whatsoever other than disrupting your life? Carmel Gates is a former president of NIPSA, Northern Ireland's biggest union. Good morning to you, Carmel.
Morning, Stephen.
And the commentator, Geoffrey Peel, with us as well. Good morning to you, Geoffrey.
Hi, Stephen.
Good morning. What could strike action going to do, Carmel?
Stephen, really, workers in Northern Ireland don't have a choice. Either we accept a budget of cuts that is going to destroy services, it's going to destroy public services, and in fact, every cut to public services will also affect private sector workers. So this is a joint battle of public and private sector workers to fight the accepted austerity programme of this Assembly. And they are using the cover of austerity to do what the Tories are doing in Britain, which is increase privatisation, cut public services.
Yeah, but how about, so what type of disruption? You're still on the executive committee of NIPSA, right?
I'm speaking today in a personal capacity.
So what type of disruption do you think lies ahead for us all?
Well, Stephen, I mean, that really depends on whether or not the Assembly
buckles
away with the cuts, because it could be strike action. It could be. We're going to start with campaigning, because I can tell you for absolute certainty, there's no trade unionist in Northern Ireland wants to take strike action. And if strike action happens, it's because we've been left with absolutely no choice. Because either we accept this cuts, either we accept what the Assembly's doing to us, or we fight back. And people can't afford not to fight these cuts, because not only are we the people who will lose their jobs as a result of service cuts, but we are also service users.
But the Assembly has got,
as everybody is.
The Assembly has got to work within its budget.
The Assembly doesn't. The Assembly can go back to Stormont or back to Westminster and demand that we need more money.
We demand? What do you think you get if you stamp your feet and demand?
It's not stamping our feet. There's enough money. I mean, we've had an announcement this week that there's additional money being released by George Osborne. There's more money coming to Northern Ireland. The UK is, what, the sixth, seventh richest country in the world? You're telling me that they don't have the money? They do have the money. They just choose to spend it on the rich and make the poor suffer.
Right.
They choose to spend it by destroying public services, by privatising everything that's not nailed down, by giving corporate handouts to the tune of $86 billion to corporations.
So what lies ahead of us?
They allow them not to pay their taxes.
So,
the money's there, Stephen.
So what lies ahead of us here potentially is our services being suspended, you know, strike action, that'll mean our bins won't be emptied. Presumably that'll mean that public transport will be disrupted. In other words, the ordinary people listening to this programme will have their lives disrupted, and for what? As if Stormont's going to be able to buckle to a couple of days strike action.
What's better, a temporary disruption on the basis of workers standing up and fighting back, or a permanent disruption? Because if these services go, they will not be back. If you cut the number of firefighters, the number of nurses, is the future government going to return them? No, they're not. So we are standing up to fight for the services that are desperately needed at the minute. Every public sector worker is stretched to capacity. You cut these services at all, and you will leave those services permanently disrupted, not for a day or a week of strike action, but permanently. And we have to fight to defend every service that we have now, because we can't afford to lose the services. Public and private sector workers are going to stand together to fight to preserve all of the services that we have in Northern Ireland.
Geoffrey?
We have no choice.
I'm not sure that public and private sector workers are going to be standing together, because an awful lot of private sector workers will be hearing this and will be absolutely bemused. Public sector workers are paid significantly more than private sector workers. We had the publication of a report a couple of weeks ago which indicated that on average in Northern Ireland, public sector workers are paid 40% more than their peers in the private sector. The fact is that despite the fact that the United Kingdom is, as Carmel alluded to, a so-called rich country, our government, unfortunately, has incurred a vast amount of debt, about £1.4 trillion of debt. That's getting worse all the time. Public sector spending has not been brought under control. And the fact is that the increase in budget allocation for healthcare and so on is a bit of a smokescreen, because all of the political parties in GB are absolutely committed to to balancing the budget within the next term of the Parliament. So all of the parties are united in this.
Yeah, but all of a sudden we're getting these sweeteners from George Osborne just before the election. Sweeteners, so that means they've got lots of cash to dole out, and they're doling it out, Geoffrey.
They haven't got lots of cash at all. In fact, there was a publication of a report by the London School of Economics recently which indicated that after the next general election, we're going to see absolutely swathes of cuts right across all of the public sector departments. You know, housing is going to be cut by about 40%. Police budgets are going to be cut. Highways budgets are going to be cut.
Well, that's Carmel's point, isn't it? You've got to stop it. You've got to fight back.
Well, unfortunately, the way of fighting back is not to disrupt and to stop the frontline services that Carmel holds so dear. You know, how on earth can we protect frontline services by stopping frontline services?
That's a good question, Carmel.
There has been no compulsory redundancy forced on the public sector to date. The public sector has weathered this storm very, very well. Many public sector workers are paid more now than they are, and yet, in comparison to their private sector peers, they are you know, we see a situation where there is not enough skills in the UK economy. And private sector workers are often having to take multiple jobs in order to survive this storm. And public sector workers are paid 40% more on average than their private sector equivalents.
Here's Stephen. David in Belfast. Morning, David.
Morning, Stephen. I just wanted to say these here people that are going on strike should catch themselves on. At least they're getting work. At least they're getting a living wage at the end of each week. There's people in other countries that don't even have work and don't even have food on the table, so they're actually doing stuff that is going to put me at risk and put everybody at risk.
Well, maybe Carmel will engage with you directly, David, and tell you why it's so necessary.
Yeah, well, because it's just standing up for the services that all of us rely on, but also private sector jobs also depend on public services. If you reduce any of the spend into public services, you hit private sector workers. There's a nonsense that private sector workers are paid significantly less than public sector workers. If you take out the top earners, the wages are very similar. There are many private public sector workers who are earning just above minimum wage. Now, one of the difficulties that we have is this government has accepted, our Assembly has accepted, the austerity agenda coming from the Tories in Britain. And if we don't stand up, and David says, Geoffrey said that it'll not make any difference and there isn't any money. Of course there's money, because on the other hand, he indicated that there is money in the economy. There is money in the economy to be spent, except it's been spent on the rich and it is being...
Okay. Convinced, David? David, are you convinced?
No. There's no money there. We have to pay our debts off before we can move forward. You know, like, we're not convinced, you know.
We need to start ensuring that the people who stole the money from us, the banks, pay it back, that we tax the corporations who are not paying their tax. There is plenty of money. The money is just there for the rich, it's not there for the poor. And the difficulty we have is that we have an Assembly that has accepted the Tory austerity agenda. It's nurses, it's firefighters, it's people who grit the roads. Those are the people that we are talking about jobs going. We're also talking about services going, such as in Dalriada, the multiple sclerosis unit, Bangor Care Home, residential care for mental and physical people with mental and physical disabilities. Those are what we're talking about. And at the same time, people like Geoffrey would tell you that private sector workers are not going to stand with us. The difficulty is private sector workers are losing their jobs hand over fist. You ask any Vistian worker, for example, who's in a well-paid job, factory closes, the jobs disappear. Is it worth us continuing to lose those private sector jobs to turn Northern Ireland into a low-wage economy where everybody works in a call centre for 10 or 12
Well, unfortunately, we don't live in a world where the government can dole out jobs willy-nilly at unlimited expense. We don't live in a socialist utopia.
Maybe we should. Carmel. That's exactly...
Yeah, of course, Carmel, you would say that, because you believe that we should all be like Cuba. We are not. This is the real world. It's the real world where the only people who create wealth are private sector businesses. They are the jewels in Northern Ireland's crown. They are the people who should be supported. And they're certainly not going to be supported by a government that willy-nilly engages in ridiculous overspending and vast quantities of debt. Until this debt situation has got under control, this economy will not recover. And we are all in this together. We all have to be in this together, public sector workers, private sector workers alike. But the focus has to be on effective public sector spending, not gratuitous overspending in public services. And frankly, there are many government departments which are full, and I've said it before, are full of bloat and people who are not producing efficiencies. And frankly, some of the departments could be reduced in size without any effect on frontline services.
Jeffrey, I'm assuming you still speak for the Tories, do you?
I don't speak for the Tories. I haven't spoken for the Tories for many years.
You defend and have defended a system where the richest 1% own more than the poorest 50%, where people claim money to heat their stables and buy their moats and their duck ponds. This is the sort of system that you support. Well, I do support a social system. I support a system based on the needs, where the needs of the 99% take precedence over the greed of the 1%. It is absolutely clear that we need to rebalance our economy. Absolutely, I agree with you. But we need to rebalance it in favour of people who are being left behind as the rich get richer and the gap between rich and poor gets greater. So that's the system.
When can we expect these strikes? What's the timeline here, Carmel?
Early in the spring, Stephen, is when we intend to start. And it is going to be private and public sector workers together, despite what Jeffrey said, because we all believe that the services that we rely on need to be saved. The jobs in the Northern Ireland economy need to be saved. So probably early March, and we're not talking about a one-day strike here and there or, you know, half-day stoppages or so on. We're talking about serious action.
All right, grinding this country to a halt. That's exactly what we need, isn't it? Grind the country to a halt. It's precisely what we need.
Stephen, this is a fight.
Not just talking about once or twice. In other words, you're going to have maximum damage done to this economy, are you?
It's not maximum damage to the economy. It's protection of the economy, Stephen. And this is where we need to be clear.
But these are the services you're trying to protect that you're actually stopping.
Services. And I think our Assembly politicians have seriously underestimated the anger that exists, the latent anger that exists out there amongst workers who have had enough. They've seen their wages being pushed back. They've seen job cuts. They have had enough of an Assembly who clearly would rather every now and again strike up sectarianism to divide workers. They're pitting private sector workers against public sector workers. They're pitting health workers against education workers. They're pitting the well-abled against disabled. It is absolutely ridiculous to create a division so that none of us will turn our attention towards them and the agenda they're setting, which is they've accepted the Tory austerity agenda, and it's time that people fought back. And we will fight back, and we will stand together, and we stand strong. And it's not to disrupt or destroy services. We are standing together to save services and end this austerity budget.
Here's the number today, 0845955678. Genghis and Bambridge, good morning.
Good morning. Carmel, I could not agree with you any less. I think you are wrong on each and every account. First of all, I'm a private sector employee, and I'm not going to stand with you. Secondly, you raise all these headline firefighters, police, nurses. Of course, that's an emotive issue, and everybody wants to keep police and firefighter and nurses all in a job and all doing a lot of good work for us. But there is a massive amount of fat around the meat. There is a lot of administrators who are treating their sick pay as if it is their holiday pay. There is a lot of waste, and there is a lot of inefficiencies in the public sector, and it needs to be cut, and it needs to be cut deep and thoroughly, and it needs to be made efficient and work for me, not for you as some kind of a worker representative who can come on the radio and tell us how it's all a Tory agenda. I'm not a Tory supporter. I've never been a Tory supporter. But I pay my taxes, and I want these taxes to go toward a good public
sector. Let's let her reply to you.
This is the sort of propaganda that we listen to all the time. For example, George Osborne has just announced that there's an extra $2 billion going into the economy. But you know what?
I'm not talking about George Osborne, and I'm not talking about propaganda. I'm telling you what I think as a private sector employee. I don't need to hear about what George Osborne thinks. I want to hear what you think. And directly, not in terms of...
Listen, I don't believe there's any...
What George Osborne is saying.
There isn't any fat in public services. You see, if you're not talking...
No, there is. Absolutely.
Let's let her finish. Hold on. Let's let her finish the sentence.
If you're not talking about
firefighters, then you're talking about school cleaners or school catering, or the people who grit the roads, or the people who keep our leisure services going. You're talking about people who pay out housing benefits. You're talking about, there isn't any fat. There's a myth that there is fat in the public services.
No, it's
there's
not a myth.
Absolutely.
Well, what about, for example, the passport office opening for 4 hours a day? There's a lot of departments that are just...
Yeah, you know why the passport office only opened for 4 hours a day is because they don't have enough staff to keep it open for any longer than that. There have been cutbacks in tax office and people who collect taxes so that it's easier for people to evade and avoid tax. It's just a nonsense that public services are bloated. And public service workers...
What about people who actually take sick pay as if it's their holiday pay? How come the public sector has a gigantic amount of sick pay?
Listen, I never defend anybody who takes time off sick if they're not sick. But that is, it's just nonsense.
You want to come into my team, there's one off a week.
No, hold on, it's not nonsense. Why is the public sector has so many more sick days than the private sector?
Because of the stress of working in
the public sector.
Listen, this is a debate for another day about sick pay. I'm not here to talk about sick pay. I'm not here to defend people who are out sick when they're not sick. But I am also telling you that a lot of public sector workers are out sick because of stress and work-related stress. So that's why
the public sector is under more stress than the private sector. But when I pay my taxes, that goes to pay their pensions. When they pay their taxes, that is not going towards my pension. They have a fantastic deal.
No.
And they're riding it well. Yeah. And it's time to cut it. And I don't want to pay for it.
Now,
I don't know who am I. I'm not speaking on behalf of anybody except for myself.
I do not want to pay for them. Yeah. Clearly not going to change your mind, Genghis. But what I can tell you is that you're wrong in your attitude to public services and public service workers. It's time for you and I to stand together to defend service. Surely you believe that we need a well-financed health service, that we need all the services that are provided to the people of Northern Ireland, we need them well-financed. We don't need a government or an assembly who wants to cut further and have accepted the Tory austerity agenda, that there is no more money and therefore we all have to...
It's not a Tory agenda. This is absolutely not a Tory agenda. You're speaking of socialism, but you're speaking of some kind of ideal that happens when people are supposed to give as much as and take as much as they need. What happened in reality is that they take as much as they can and give as much as they need. And that's why the public sector is so poor in its performance and so bloated in its employment.
Okay, listen, loads of you calling in about this today. 08459-555-678. 08459-555-678. Pat in West Belfast. Morning, Pat.
I'm listening to particularly Genghis, and Genghis has all this information, and I would want to know where he gets it from, and where he gets it from is from newspapers. And there's a lot of propaganda put out in the form of news. What's happened recently, and it's what happened in the past as well, is worker is pitted against worker. People were being pitted against people who were receiving benefits. We need really to stick together here. I was listening to a program on Radio 4. Radio 4 program said that the country has a further 10% on the deficit that started before the austerity. In other words, with all the austerity, I think it's something like 400 billion is added on to the country's debt. So the austerity packages didn't work. So we have to get together. We have to get this sorted out.
Okay.